Hello, this is Ruben, the host of the Underdog Way podcast. Back again as usual. I need to first apologize for the 4-week gap. 3 weeks ago, my MacBook actually stopped working and it's still in the shop. So I would advise anyone who has a podcast or any type of venture, keep your work that you need backed up on a hard drive, because if you don't have access to your computer and something happens, then you may lose it and not have access to it for some time. But I will get it back at some point and be back up and running. In the meantime, I thought this would be a good opportunity to re-release an interesting episode from a series I created early last year in 2019 called the Stutter Hacks Podcast, where I exclusively interviewed people who stuttered. This episode is with Puneet Kumar, owner and founder of Taurus Health and Fitness in Leicester. He tells a very interesting story about he was unable to get through job interviews. He would struggle, even with a marketing degree, to put himself forward and get into roles that he wanted, which out of necessity led him to create his own business, which he has now grown into a very successful venture. He can boast clients such as Paul Gascoigne, and he is a talented photographer and well-seasoned unorthodox traveler. And I say unorthodox because he ventures off into places that we would not even think of, and we touch upon some of that in the podcast. I hope you enjoy the conversation. I really enjoyed listening back on it, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to share an old conversation of something I was working on before, pre-COVID time. So I was able to meet Puneet up in Leicester, eat, have lunch, do the podcast, reminisce about it, and then head back home. A luxury that we do not have in this current climate. But I'm excited to start living in the past again, live through this episode, and share this conversation with you guys. So thank you very much for listening on to the podcast series. It really means a lot. Okay, if you have any feedback, please send it my way. In the meantime, enjoy this next episode of the Underdog Way podcast with Puneet Kumar, and you will in a few seconds hear the old intro tune to the Stutter Hacks podcast. So I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much. My number one piece of advice for anyone dealing with stuttering or any other type of issue is broadcast yourself.
Yeah. With experience, how can you work out what was effective and what wasn't? Just being scared. Have you become wise to your situation?
Like, do that first thing that scares the crap out of you.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest bit.
Ruben Pillai again on the Stutter Hacks podcast. I'm in Leicester today with Puneet. Gonna be talking about life and what he gets up to in the Midlands. So Puneet, thank you for giving me your time today. Really
Hello.
Appreciate it.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yourself?
Good, good. Thank you for coming all the way down to visit me.
It's fine. Thank you for lunch. I'm very well fed now with the salmon.
Good, good. You're very welcome.
Cool. So let's get straight into it, dude.
Cool.
Who are you and what the hell do you do?
Sorry, I'm Puneet. I'm 34 from Leicester. And what do you want to know? What, where do I work or anything like that?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
I run my own.
Taurus.
Yeah, I run my own health and fitness company, which I've had for 12 years. And that started because I couldn't find a job. It's had a really bad stammer, which we can go into detail. But yeah, because if I couldn't find the job, I opened up my own business. And 12 years on, there I am, doing well.
So it's taking a bat now. So when you're in school, did you have any kind of specific type of jobs or career paths that you were kind of thinking about taking?
Yeah, I wanted to obviously work in marketing because I love selling. And then I got a job interview at Leicester City.
Football club?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But I was actually overqualified for the job, but I couldn't get the job because of my speech impediment.
Okay.
So I was there at the interview. I've been through uni and college, so... it was a fairly basic marketing job, but because I couldn't basically talk in the interview, I was like freezing up massively.
Yeah.
They said I couldn't get the job. So it was a bit downhearting, but whatever happens, eventually I hone out. Always happens for the good, and it's always worked out for the best.
That's really good. So is there like any kind of, apart from your kind of interest in selling things to people, was there anything else that drew you to the marketing type of professional sector? Because you kind of do similar things to that now within your business.
Correct. Yeah,
as,
yeah.
As a part of the business, but...
I think I've always been, subconsciously, I've always liked to talk to people.
Okay.
So be around people. Even though with that stammer, I couldn't ever do that. So some reason I always wanted to like break out of this shell and get out of that thing of just being shy. Mm-hmm. And literally go out and talk to people. But I simply could not do that. So I've always had the dream to like, have my own business, talk to people, go Facebook Live, which I now do like fairly often. So, marketing was always something which I like because I love interacting and inspiring other people.
Fantastic. So that eventually, through the problems you had with interviews and that particular one with the marketing job, this triggered you to start your own business, essentially.
Yes, correct. So I applied there. I applied even at Asda, and I didn't even get that job. So then there's only one way around it, and my mom actually thought of the idea about opening up my own health shop, and I thought, no, I can't do that. And then I thought, you know what, I just have to do something. I was 23, I was unemployed, I had no social life, I didn't talk to anyone. And those days, it was even harder because we never had Facebook or WhatsApp or anything.
Yeah.
So to physically talk to someone, you had to physically go out the street and talk to them in person, which was something which I never, ever, ever did. So, sorry, what was the question again?
So how did you end up actually?
Taurus. So yeah, my parents had an empty shop and they were about to rent it out. And then my mum said, look, if you want, you can have the shop, pay us the rent and set up your own business. And I was into training then. Again, I started training because I was a bit insecure about myself. Mm-hmm. So that's a big reason why I started to go gym to increase my self-confidence. And then I thought, I'm going to open up my own business.
And get Hench as well.
Which is part of the benefits. But again, yeah, it all helped increase confidence. So yeah, it all happened because I couldn't find the job. So I had to go down my own route. And now there I am 12 years later.
Fantastic. So 12 years means you started in
2007. Good maths.
Very good maths.
Very good maths.
Like, in that first year then, like, did you have any specific challenges, any kind of doubts? There must have been time when you thought, crap, is this actually working? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Especially when you first open your business. I was like 7.5 stone, so I wasn't even big. And then customers used to come in and think, you're not big, how can you sell me this? I was like, well, trust me, it'll work. Because I was taking it and I started to get bigger and bigger off it. And there were other shops where there was, like big guys behind the counter and they used to go there. But
They've
actually all now shut down as there's only my shop left. Because I've got that self-belief, I knew that it worked. But I did have doubts, obviously. Especially the first year when turnover isn't that high, customers don't come in, but it's all about having the absolute self-belief and keep on marketing, and there we are 12 years on and we're still doing all right.
Did you feel that kind of that experience kind of like enabled you to grow as a person as well, just getting out and actually speaking to people? Because this was your business, you had to make it work. This was the way that kind of to pay your bills or to feed
Absolutely.
Yourself, you had to make it work.
It had to make, so we'd put in as a family about 20 grand to open it up.
Jesus.
To buy the stock and, you know, all the like IT systems. So it was a big investment. So it had to work regardless. So again, the first couple of months, my stammer was so bad. I hated answering the phones, but I just had to do it. And for years, I've avoided the phone. Like, if it rang, I would just ignore it, like, back at home. But this was my own business. I knew there was no way we could ever fail because we'd lose so much money. So, it was hard. Eventually, I got more confident talking and answering the phones, and then I started to make the phone calls. Before, I used to like email all my suppliers. Yeah. I simply tried to avoid the phone, and eventually got the confidence and the courage to literally pick up the phone, dialing and ordering via the phone. So it sounds, it was hard, but it's made me definitely, as you said, like a stronger, more confident person. But you have to go through bad times to appreciate the good times.
Was there any particular experience you think that if you think back and you can point to that one experience as that was when you had that real paradigm shift and you kind of felt like you made a giant leap in your personality growth?
Yeah, paradigm shift was once the magazine came to my shop and they wanted to interview me about my business. But then I told them about my stammer and the speech impediment. So instead of doing an article about the actual business, it was about inspiring other people how to overcome my speech impediment. I ended up doing an actual actual magazine article purely on that. And
you must have got like a bit of traction because of that onto business.
It was fantastic. As well. Yeah, it got into business. Yeah. So people saw it. I was out in town and this girl just saw me and she said, "Oh my God, you got the guy in that magazine." Yeah. And it kind of makes you feel really good, but she was like, "Oh, you've really helped me. I got a message on Facebook saying, look, you've really inspired my son and my daughter." And because of that paradigm shift, I went to Mumbai in 2015.
Yeah.
And I did a talk out there to help about 20 other stammerers.
Fantastic.
So I did
That's
a talk.
Amazing.
So
good.
It was good. It's been a good journey so far.
Yeah, I read this article actually about kind of... if you have a business, if you're in charge of a corporation, one of the best ways to really get your employees on board or really sell your business is actually kind of be genuine about yourself. And if you can
Absolutely. Totally
be
agree.
A bit more transparent, show that you have maybe some imperfection or something about you that other people, they can say, you know what, this is actually like a real person that actually draws people to your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to your plans and ideas.
Yeah, plans and ideas. Yeah. Again, that's totally because, like, even on my, I've got like a work Facebook page, and then I've put up the photos of me in India. Like, I've told a lot of this was me, like, in the past, and then people warm to you because. Otherwise, I'm just a like faceless corporation. Otherwise,
yeah.
So people can see me, who I am, what I stand for, and because of that, they're more likely to support small, independent, family businesses rather than go to the big corporations and obviously spend there because they'd rather because we've got a story to tell.
Yeah.
So it's more warming, and again, it helps inspire them, and it helps. And they come in and they talk to me. It helps inspire me because I've now got the confidence to talk to all these people. So it's been really good.
In the past 12 years, then, there's been quite a lot of changes in the way people are doing their shopping and buying their protein as well.
Yeah.
Because I can straight up say that if I am doing a purchase of protein or anything like that, I go on the internet, pay it, it comes the next day.
Yeah.
If I'm a bit cheaper, then
It
comes within a week.
Hmm.
That's your competition again, isn't it?
Yeah, it used to be other stores, but again, because people liked the service so much, they've always came to us. But yeah, the internet is a big, I guess, competitor, because you do get it instantly. So rather than physically going to a shop and... this and that, but the last couple of months we're actually seeing it come full circle because people now have been buying online for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, it's easy, but they don't know exactly what they're buying.
There's too much online.
There's too much choice, and the reviews are often biased because they're owned by the supplement companies.
Okay.
So now we've had people who used to come to the shop, buy, they love the service, but obviously it's slightly easier to go online, which is fair enough. They've been online, and now that even last week we had 7 former customers who used to come in store now come back. They were like, "Look, I've been on like certain sites, which I won't mention."
My protein. They brought
certain sites, exactly that one, and they've got no results. So they're all coming back. It's worth the time, the energy to speak to an expert, and you can't buy that online.
That's cool, man. That's straight from the heart. Straight from the heart, man. So in your time with the business, and kind of doing the marketing for it, have you come across any cool people in the industry or any sports personalities that?
Yeah, we actually, Paul Gascoigne now shops at Taurus.
Gazza. What does he buy from there?
He buys protein.
Bloody hell.
Paul Gascoigne's awesome. Been in four times now.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so, that's really good to hear, actually. It's really good to hear.
I actually got photos off him, and it's good because obviously he's been through some troubles in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting back under the health wagon. And again, he's coming in and he's taken our advice. Is this like a former professional footballer? Yeah. Listening to us. So, the fact that we're getting big names to hide that down in the shop. It's just...
That must be cool.
Crazy.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got photos of him. So, yeah, I've met four Miss Leicesters. I've been out with them for drinks. And,
That's cool.
So, it's always good, you know, hanging out with, Miss Leicesters. So, you do meet a lot of people in the industry. And, yeah, again, it helps boost your own confidence. Because in the past, I could never talk to a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, impossible. Now, I'm out doing photo shoots with, Miss Leicester from here and there. It's just... fantastic.
And Gazza as well. That's,
and Gazza, yeah, and Gazza.
He's actually
Gazza,
like a legend.
Gazza's
yeah, great guy. Cool. So I just want to change the topic now a bit. So when we first met properly, I think sometime, was it last year or was
last
it
last year May? I believe.
Okay,
yes.
It just, for some reason, because we were speaking before and in between, it just feels like we had already kind of been mates.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so some of the kind of things that we were speaking about, the things you taught in the sense of how to kind of, trying to actually find a better way to phrase it, but how to attract positivity into your life.
Yes.
So didn't give us a quick overview of kind of those principles.
The first thing to do, what my hypnotist taught me, I'm a qualified hypnotist, by the way. So I might into a trance and make you fall asleep. They always talk about state management. So the first thing to do, the way you stand affects the way you feel. So if you want to feel good in an instant, shoulders back, head up high, and you'll release a chemical in your body called serotonin. That's the chemical what lots and of business leaders have. So if you're feeling down, become aware of your posture, because you'll be head down, arch back. As soon as you roll your shoulders back, put your head up high, you'll instantly become to feel better. It can't not happen because it releases the chemical. And from there, then you can start to work on vision boards and goals. But you need to be in that state first. It's so important to be in that state.
So is that kind of when you change your posture, then with that, like, is the trigger from the spine or is... The chemical.
It's a chemical in your brain starts to get released called serotonin.
Okay.
So
it's brain based.
Yeah, it's basically the brain. Yeah, it's if I say draw a someone who's sad and depressed, they'll be like head down, shoulders slouched, and if I say draw a multimillionaire walking down the street, how would they walk? Shoulders back, head up high, proud, like they own the whole world.
Pimp stick.
That's it, literally.
Everything. Yeah,
and the first thing I've said as well, every time that you walk into a bar or a wedding, or if you want to, like, literally own that room, they call it walking in like a rock star. So walking like you already own the place.
Mm-hmm.
And that releases this chemical. Then people are drawn to your vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people say, oh, that guy's got a bad vibe. It stands for vibration. Everyone's given off vibrational frequencies. As soon as you can give off a good vibe about you with your posture, people will become drawn, which will increase your serotonin even more, and in return increase your contacts and increase your confidence?
So to get that same trigger,
yeah,
can that be achieved by like a change of clothes or changing hair or
change of clothes is fantastic. Yeah. There's a guy called Reverend Ike. He's a preacher, a Christian preacher. Mm-hmm. He says, if you can, wear your best suit every day.
Okay.
Walk around in your best suit. Because, again, if you put on your favorite jacket, you feel important. You feel like, wow, this is amazing. So just wear it as and when you can. Don't just save it for special occasions. If you're feeling down, put on your best shoes, your best jacket.
Just feel
good about yourself, and instantly people will become to feel, oh god, you know, that guy or girl's got a really good vibe because they feel confident within themselves.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as they feel confident, the universe will just attract so many people because, again, off that vibrational frequency.
Okay, so say if you have a person who has achieved this, they have trained their posture. Huh? They have the clothes on and their best jacket and their haircut.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw a spanner in the work now and say, look, like, they've got to start it now.
Yeah.
So they've been having a few problems speaking with their mates. And they just feel like a bit embarrassed going to a party.
Yeah.
So they walk in.
Yeah.
They get those vibes.
Yeah.
But then how do they transfer that into kind of other areas into life? Or then is that purely like just... as in, because they can feel good in that point in time.
Yeah.
But then how can they now incorporate that into different parts of...
Different parts of life.
Yeah.
They can do it fairly easy. So they can obviously start off by... I mean, it takes time.
Yeah.
It's not just that, like, you're going to put on a suit and just become, like, a ladies' man and become fluent.
Of course not, yeah.
But that little increment can help increase the small confidence. And they don't have to go out talking to everyone. The best thing to do, actually, when you're in a conversation, basically mirror what the other person says. Because that creates instant rapport.
Okay.
And the most important words that come out of someone's mouth is their own. So if you mirror what they say...
Mm-hmm.
They'll instantly feel connected to you.
Okay.
So if anyone has got a stammer and they're struggling to start a conversation, literally echo what the other person is saying to a certain degree.
Yeah.
That's really important to try and do that.
Uh-huh.
And then instantly that person will become warmed up to you. Then you can ask them for your number or Facebook, and then you can get chatting via typing, like social media. But they can use that in the work, use that in family. But it starts within yourself. So you need to start putting in that action first. So stage management is what every book I've read, they always say start with yourself, your posture. And so anyone who's got a stammer, they can just put on their favorite suit, jacket, walk into a room like they own it. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of guts. Because some people think, oh, no, he's a bit arrogant. You know, it's that hard kind of balance.
But there's a compromise, isn't there? Because I'd rather be kind of speaking a lot more confidently and with a lot more ease.
Yeah.
And if they perceive me to be a bit more arrogant, then
that's fine.
Fair enough, I think. Because that might have to be the trade-off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not really arrogance, it's basically self-confidence.
Because that's an interesting point, because I've actually had experiences with maybe myself and with other people where those two things have been kind of intertwined, where if they were not happy with the other person, they would perceive what he was kind of, what he was acting, they would perceive that as him showing arrogance as opposed to being self-confident.
Yeah. But just remember, when someone's doing their judging, it's a reflection of how they feel on the inside.
Okay.
So if I'm in a bad mood and not doing well, right, really well, if you walked in with your suit into that room, I'd be like, oh, he's so arrogant, look at him. Mm. Because I'd feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm successful and confident and you've hooked in, I can't say anything bad about you because I love myself enough, so I can only now give out love. So when someone judges you, it's a reflection of how they feel on the inside. So I used to just be that, and I saw someone, I was like, oh, they're so arrogant. But that was when I had a really bad stammer. I hated seeing like a guy and a girl go out because that's something I always wanted.
Yeah.
And I used to be like, oh, that guy's so arrogant. Like, how's he? Yeah, I used to get like envious. Mm-hmm. But now, because I've got the confidence and the self-love, I see the exact same thing. I'm like, oh, go on, son. Well done. So it's a reflection of how you feel on the inside.
That's good.
And then you'll attract the right people who you want to attract. So ignore the haze because that's their own issues. And you'll basically attract the like-minded, confident people because you've became that person.
Fantastic. So like on that point of attraction, I actually got a chance to read The Secret last year.
The Secret.
And I can know that that is like a book had you champion a fair bit.
Yeah, that's what started me off, yeah.
So, are there kind of any key principles from that book that you can share now, just very kind of in like a short form? So if someone kind of is thinking about picking up that book and giving it a chance, what can they get out of it?
Okay. Firstly, it'll only work if you really want to read it. Yep. When someone hands it you and says, read this, it doesn't work. Person has to find it by themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like finding a certain faith. You have to kind of like find it yourself. So
you can't be persuaded.
Yeah. Like your parents can't say, oh, you must become this religion. You have to kind of like find your own faith. It's kind of like a journey. So people find that book, all that level of thinking. It's basically, in a, to keep it short as I can, you attract whatever you think about. So if you say, I am ill, I am poor, you will always become the spoken word of God, or the spoken word people say is I am. Whatever you attach to the word I am, you will become. Mm-hmm. So whatever you want, say if you wanted a, I don't know, a Porsche or this or that, you have to pretend, and it's really hard, like you already own it.
Okay.
Because the subconscious mind doesn't know what's real or what's fake. So you can tell your subconscious mind that I already own a Porsche, and the subconscious mind will actually believe that. And again, that's my hypnosis training, because I was hypnotized to believe I was Elvis, and I was on the stage shifting my lip and shaking my hips.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I'm proof that it works. Yeah. This car, obviously you can't see it on the audio, but I've done exactly the same thing. Uh-huh. Secondly, write your goals down or have a vision board. Just to get, and this is where people think, oh no, it's all airy-fairy universe.
Yeah.
Again, I'm qualified in this, so I know the scientific, biological side. Every time you see a vision of your goal, it releases the chemical called dopamine, and that enables you to get closer and closer to your goal. So if your dream car is a Porsche, and you've got that vision in your mind, everywhere you go, whenever you see a Porsche, you'll be like, oh my God, that's a car. Because now you've trained your subconscious mind that that car is important. So
that's really true, because I have a friend who, so at some point at the end of the last year, he found out that him and his partner, they were expecting a baby.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, everywhere he went, he saw shops for baby shops.
Yeah, exactly the same.
And there was one literally next to the train station that he would take every day.
Yeah.
He'd be at the train station every day for the past 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But the first time he actually saw the shop was then.
You've worded it perfectly. Yeah, exactly.
So he's already, so just that kind of, the news of the baby coming has already triggered like a shift in the mindset, and he's now and he's opened his eyes to these shops that were already there.
That's exactly
but, yeah.
You basically explained it exactly. It is. So if you're thinking of like poverty and wealth, you'd walk down the street. I mean, if you're thinking of like poverty, and you'll see probably like adverts for like bank loans or like cash convert shops,
yeah,
things that help you make some money. But if you're thinking of wealth, you might walk down the advert. This, I mean, you might walk down the same street, but see all the expensive jewelry shops, the nice cars. But your mind's not focused on the wealth. It works with any stage, whatever you do. One thing I will say: avoid the news, the media. They're always there to bring you down because bad news sells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's always one thing. And before you go to bed, feed into your subconscious mind something positive, what you want, affirmations. Again, rather than switching on BBC News and hearing about Brexit or terrorism or illness, because then that's going to feed into your subconscious mind.
Because essentially with those things, we hear about them every day, and they are essentially affirmations in themselves, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. They say if you eat too much red meat, you're going to get ill, you're going to get diabetes and this and that. And it all feeds in, it's all scared tactics.
Yeah.
To make people not fulfill their full ambitions. So it's so, they say actually the media is a secret government. Because in a way they are.
Yeah.
They are. So one thing I've done, I've not watched news for 5 years, I've not read a newspaper for 4 years. I don't listen to radio. When the adverts do come on, I put down the news and the adverts. I've got no news apps on my phone.
Okay.
No, yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on in the last 5 years.
Sports?
A bit of sport. Yeah. Like sport against sports is...
We got the World Cup semi-finals, by the way, if you didn't realise.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I was in North Korea and they actually told them that North Korea had won the World Cup because they've got no media out there.
Really?
That's how powerful it is, yeah.
No way.
That's how powerful. I was there and I saw a poster as well of North Korea holding up. They said they beat Brazil or Portugal like 7-0 or something. But they've got no media apart from government radio. So that's how powerful all of this is. They'll have to believe whatever is said.
I've got a story about that, actually, because I read in World Cup 2010, so they got to the World Cup.
I believe they did. Was it North Korea?
Yeah. So they were drawn in the same group as Brazil, Portugal, and Ivory Coast. And the government, president thought they were going to get trashed. So what they did, their first game was against the Brazilians.
Yeah.
They did not air it live.
There we go.
So they... play the first game. It was, and they actually played really well.
Mm.
And the Brazilians, they scraped a win.
Yeah.
So they did really well for the first tournament. The government thought, all right, these guys are great. Let's play this now.
Mm.
The following day. And,
wow.
And the country, because they were happy that they could compete with the Brazilians.
Yeah.
And in the end, the Brazilians won, but as in. For them, it was just an achievement just to go against them and keep it close.
Yeah.
Because of that, the government thought, you know what? As in, damn, like, we must be good. We managed to, like, stay in the game for that long.
Yeah.
Let's play the next game live. So they played the Portuguese.
Yeah.
And got beaten 7-0.
That was exactly. They've reversed it then there.
Yeah. I think they actually sent the team... So afterwards, they got sent for punishment, and they had to do a certain number of hours of labour or something.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff which, even I've been told for talking about, so I'm not going to say it on the camera, because even I can get done, even some of the photos I've done, when I was out there, I got told to had to get rid of the photos, but that's for another day. We can do that in person, about a whole conversation about North Korea.
We can do that at the end of this after we
do what you want. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with that trip, as in how, why, and just
again, I always
where
say,
did that come from? Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone, because if I went to Tenerife and all inclusive, I won't grow as a person.
Yeah.
If I go Dubai,
completely agree. Yeah.
You know, all inclusive, go on a skylight view of the Burj Khalifa. It's nice.
It doesn't do anything for me, though.
It's like, I've not learned anything.
Yeah.
If I go to North Korea on an 18-hour train, then get searched, my phone got searched, my bag has got searched, my camera's got searched, we had to We got forced to bow down at the dead leader's body. We like saw him there.
Wow, okay.
It's like, it's so, so militant. And you have to behave. The first time I've genuinely been scared. Like, genuinely been scared. So all I can say, again, if you want to grow, you must get out of your comfort zone.
What was the length of the trip?
It was about 6 days.
Cool.
I was tired after two. Just like, mentally. Yeah. It's like, all I can say is like being in prison. We're not even allowed to leave the hotel unless we're guided.
Okay.
Yeah, prison.
As in, so, like, with that trip, then, did you go as part of, like, a tour, or was it individually, or?
No, we're not allowed to go individually.
Okay.
We have to go as part of a tour.
Uh-huh.
So there's about 10 or 15 of us. It was actually a really good crowd. And we were just...
I think it must be, because it isn't kind of, like, the typical place to go. So then you end up kind of going with a group, and there'll be interesting personalities in that group.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the nature of the trip.
Yeah.
That attracts those kind of people into the group.
Exactly what we're talking about earlier, about likes attracting likes. So there won't be any people on like an 18 to 30s holiday. It's all just like wanted to go out and get
back
drunk.
To the bus and,
this is like serious, like independent tourists who want to go out there and see what on earth is going on.
I can learn stuff basically.
Can learn out there. And do you know who Stuart Pearce is, the footballer?
Sorry?
Stuart Pearce.
Yeah.
I met him in North Korea.
Really?
I've got a photo of him.
Yes, I saw the picture on Facebook. Yes.
I've met Stuart Pearce in North Korea. I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm just here on a tour. So even footballers go there.
That's incredible.
I met Stuart Pearce in North Korea.
Yeah, well, he's probably been to every other country around the world. So he,
yes, he has. He's not been North Korea, but he has now.
Well, he has now, yeah.
And he saw me there, so that must have been his highlight.
Yeah.
So,
did you tell him that that you met Gaza and
no, because because he was busy.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like didn't want us to hold copies. He had like four or five half hour, like, you know, other people on the tour, like having photos with him. He was there with his, I don't know, girlfriend or his wife. So I quickly had a quick photo, said hello, how are you, then just let him be.
You could have been like, oh yeah, I've got a mate, I think he knows you, his name is Gaza, as in, do you know each other? Yeah.
I was tempted, but
yeah.
I'm glad I've got a photo with him, and I'll be uploading more photos on my Instagram and stuff page. But yeah, it's been a...
He's pretty scary, isn't he?
Man. Who, Pierce or Gaza? Or both?
Pierce.
Well, they just called him Psycho.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah. Even there, I thought, God, I best not, you know, say anything bad. But I said, that's why you have to go out of your comfort zone and grow.
Because
you'll meet so many new people, and it enabled you to grow as well. So if you have got, like, stammer and lacking confidence, do exactly what I said. Put on your favourite clothes. Practice your posture. Practice in the mirror. It sounds really stupid. And say in the mirror, I love you. Self-love is so important. People are trying to find love from external circumstances, like an other person. But if you don't love yourself first, no one will ever love you, because you're constantly seeking from an external person. But what if that person ever dies?
Yeah.
Or they leave you. Then what? So you need to first find it within yourself. And everyone's got that capability, because happiness is a feeling and it's only created by yourself, but we attach it to external circumstances like a car or a partner or a house, but it's all within yourself.
I have a question then. So like, I find that when I speak to people now, and if they are saying that things aren't kind of great, or if things are okay, they are always trying to like improve, and that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
But what tends to happen is they're kind of comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time they're comparing themselves to the idea that other people put out on the internet.
Yeah.
Which isn't always accurate.
Yeah.
So have you got any advice for kind of tackling that, because it can be easy to think at times, like, I'm doing all this, but like, I'm still struggling, but this person is killing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Firstly, if you can, if you've got the willpower, get a full social media. Because especially Instagram, people have got like hashtag couple goals.
Yeah.
And like the girls in her heels living and my dress. Best life. Living that, yeah. The guy's 6 foot two and they're out in Dubai drinking champagne and cocktails. People, yeah. Oh my God, that's a perfect lifestyle. But yeah. It's a photo.
Yeah.
It's absolute. And every, people would go through lengths to take the perfect photo to get the likes, to get the attention. Again, it releases the chemical called dopamine. But if anyone's got, firstly, just you have to again go within yourself rather than looking external and comparing yourself. Start loving yourself first, because if you start comparing yourself to other people, you'll never ever ever be happy. Never. Because you're always looking for the next goal, or the next hashtag couple goal, or the next this or that,
or the next person to compare yourself to.
Yeah. So what's the point? Just only person to compare yourself is yourself. And that's where self-love comes into play. But unfortunately, we're so now programmed that, oh no, you have to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you have to be drinking cocktails on top of the Shard on a Saturday night at 7 p.m. eating lobster, because that's what it is. But it's far from reality. It's all fake.
Very, very true. I think as well, there is like obsession now. People, they want to always do the 5-star thing. And it has to be that, or then, like, I don't know, like, they, I think it's okay to sometimes to be not perfect, or just have like a day that that's just plain day. As in, why does it always have to be like,
Tony Robbins, who's a like motivational speaker, even said, decide not to be perfect.
Yeah.
Because if you're always trying to be perfect, you won't ever win.
Mm-hmm.
So decide not to be perfect and just be who you are. But just be the best at what you can do. That's all it's about. And just screw everyone else in like a nice way.
Yeah.
And then the right people will, he'll think, oh, actually that person's got their own vibe. And they'll be drawn. But if you're trying to always be like someone else, people think, oh, that guy or that girl, she's just trying to be like her because she saw it on like Instagram, or he's just trying to be like that guy.
Yeah.
And then the person loses their whole exclusivity because they're just becoming a carbon copy of someone else. And no one wants to marry or get with a carbon copy. Everyone wants to marry someone who's an individual person who loves themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to do that. But again, it's extremely hard because everyone's primary human need is love, and people are finding it easier to find it online by being so perfect. But a lot of these people are genuinely not happy.
There's also like a trend of people kind of maybe doing things just for the sake of doing it, because it's like a thing to do at that time, or like a place to go. But you see, sometimes I think that you don't always have to be trying to do everything or have a list, a bucket list, and keep ticking things off.
Yeah, because
just for the sake of ticking off a list.
Yeah.
If there is something out there, and if you're passionate about it, then you can do it. But if you're just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Then most people, there was a study saying,
for the right reason.
Yeah, people are now doing stuff just to get like, just to post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I was out in London and I saw a couple on a date. The food came. The first thing they did was both stand up and take photos of it. I was like, just bloody eat the food. So it's like they go into all these bars purely to take photos of the food. Then they were posting it, and by the time they like did it, the food had got cold because they were just there purely just to tell other people where they are. So now people need to become aware and comprehend that doesn't really matter. No one really cares about what you've had for Sunday lunch. But people now do that to prove that, oh, I'm at this bar. No one cares. Apart from themselves. So just go out and do whatever you want to do. You don't have to post everything on Facebook or on But again, it's that need for, hello, hello, look at me. I'm so popular. I've done this. I've done that. That's just the way it's become.
Well, just a quick one, actually, because I've actually been in that position before.
Yeah.
Where the food has come. And, yeah. And I have taken a picture. Yeah. But I've got a policy where I don't actually do any posting at the table.
That's fine. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
And I share with actual like partner or friend.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean.
And yes. Yeah, so that's my kind of filter I give.
Yeah. That's fine. Everyone's got their own way. I mean, if it makes you happy, then by all means, you can do whatever you want. But if you just go into all these bars and restaurants, purely just take photos and then post it. The whole point was to go out was to meet your friends.
Yeah.
Then you end up spending more time on your phone. So I've seen couples and groups of people
just on their phones.
It's like 10 or 15 people posting on their phones.
Posting about being at this place.
Yeah, at this time. Group.
Together.
But no one's
actually with each other.
They're not actually talking.
Yeah.
They're all after. Again, I was talking about dopamine. As soon as you get likes, it releases dopamine, which is so addictive. That's why it's became so popular. But people have kind of stopped talking and just now using their phones to talk, which is kind of sad. But for people with stammers, I think in a way it's good to help you improve your skills into talking. That's what he never had that. Like I had to talk, but now Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, it's good because he can talk. But eventually, you have to come out of your shell and physically walk up to that person and say hello, how are you, and talk to them in person. So each to their own. Obviously, that this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I genuinely believe a lot of people are becoming addicted to comparing their lives with other people when all the happiness and the love and the self development is deep down within yourself.
Got a deep question now. So with kind of the evolution of Instagram and all these platforms to communicate with people, in a couple of years' time, can you envision there not being any conversations? As in, even in the world of business as well, do you think that will drop down and there will be ways of businesses to communicate through apps and these platforms?
Absolutely. Even in our business, it's just all, I mean, it's done by WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my business is done by WhatsApp, and people don't even respond by saying okay. They started to now use emojis, so they just put a thumbs up. So people are now like,
that takes longer, come on, you need like search it.
If someone writes something funny on Instagram, people don't comment haha, they just put that smiley crying face.
Yeah.
So people are now even not talking. So yeah, even in business, the old school negotiations is dying down. It's just this, it's just ordering this, okay, tick. Handwritten notes are basically dead. No one writes anymore. So I think the next thing to go is like actually people actually physically writing on pen and paper.
Yeah.
No one actually writes anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no need for it. I think English and schools will have to start teaching more internet skills and handwriting. It's really big. Sadly, it's almost obsolete.
It's crazy.
I've not used a pen in years.
I had a Parker pen in school.
I had a Parker pen. What's up here?
I had the Parker Reflex. I think what's called.
The little clicky ones.
No, this the one with the ink cartridge use. Put in, and it was like very
You had the posh one.
Yeah, the calligraphy type one.
I had the cheap one from Asda. Yeah. And then someone stole it, so
sorry, dude.
Oh no. I bet it was you. But you know.
So you bought the cheap one from Asda and you went for a job interview there as well and they said no. So
yeah, I know, it's terrible, terrible. Gave them money and I said no, but hey, every cloud has a silver lining. And what the Bhagavad Gita says, whatever happens, happens for the good. Whatever will happen has happened for the good. Whatever has happened for the good. Was that right? Something like that. Well, basically, anything that happens for the good.
Yeah.
It might take years to actually realise, but it's always for the good. So if I didn't have that job interview, if I'd failed that job interview, I mean, now if I've got my own company, or I could have been working on a 9-to-5 on a lot less wages and not driving this car, working at Leicester, but it's so much better now because I'm... own boss, so it's actually worked out for the good.
And I think it's up to the person to put themselves in a position to see the good as well.
Yeah, that's the hard thing. It can happen. Yeah?
But if you're too fixed on looking at the negative,
yeah,
then you're going to miss positive, isn't it?
Absolutely. A lot of people are so fixated, oh, why did this happen to me? Why me? Why me? But if you change the question, you change the answer. So instead, so if something bad happens, because you can say if you were going for a job interview and it didn't work out, rather than asking why me, because the brain will come up with a negative answer, or because I'm stupid, or because I'm this or that, ask, what else could this mean? Or how can I use this experience to help me grow and develop as a person? And then the brain comes up with a different answer. And first, but the more you ask, the more the brain will search and search and search. So if you change the question, you will change the answer. That's so important. Really important about changing the question to a positive, empowering question, rather than why does this always happen to me? Or if you got a girlfriend and she dumps you, like, oh, why do girls hate me? See, the fact that you've asked a bad question, the brain thinks, hang on a minute, probably because you're insecure or you're overweight or this or that. Or thought, okay, how can I use this experience to find another girl who will like me better? Then the brain thinks, actually, okay, maybe do this, maybe do this. So, the questions you ask will always define your lifestyle.
You know what? I always find that every time we have these conversations, I always pick up a new thing, or I feel that I am always gaining from these conversations. So
awesome!
I'd like to say thank you very much.
I'll send you the bill later.
Cheers, dude. I'm going to end it there because I think we've been speaking for some time. But again, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Sparing me your Sunday afternoon in Leicester, in the countryside, sitting in car park of a nice...
Mill on the Saw in Leicester.
Mill on the Saw.
Thank you very much for listening to that episode with Puneet that I recorded almost 1.5 years ago. I hope you enjoyed it and gained something from it. And fingers crossed, I'll be back on schedule with the podcast for the next episode in 2 weeks' time. Thank you again for all your support, and stay safe and stay blessed.